CBS on the world. I'm John Batchelor. SpaceX, Starship and Super Heavy looking to the next mission from Boca Chica. Pause. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. It is happy birthday, Behind the Black, the 13th anniversary of Bob creating this site to watch commercial space rise and big space step aside and or augment. Right now we have that in between. Commercial space is ready to go. Big space has stood back, and yet a representative of big space is looking very keenly at a launch date and saying, not yet, that would be the FAA. Bob, what do we know about the FAA's position right now about the next launch? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I just want to once again add, we're just now ending the fourth week of my July fundraiser. There's only a few more days left, beginning of the next week, and your listeners have been, as always, very, very generous, and I have to thank them again. All right, so we have a whole bunch of stories here having to do with the federal executive branch, agencies in the federal branch, doing things that are exerting power over commercial space and in ways that sometimes are good but mostly are not. So we start with Starship Super Heavy. SpaceX's giant reusable rocket they're trying to develop that would be the most powerful rocket ever created. They did one test launch in April. It had issues, but that was not surprising because it was a test launch. They never launched it before. They did not expect it to go perfectly, and it didn't go perfectly. There were issues. Well, the FAA is treating this launch as a standard operational rocket launch, and it demanded a full investigation of those issues. SpaceX is fully willing to do a full investigation because it wants to find out everything that went wrong so it can correct the problems. SpaceX, at the same time, while it investigates those issues, has been moving ahead with trying to get ready to do a next test launch, and they've pretty much said repeatedly they will be ready in August. And everything they've done seems like they're ready, John. For example, they have Super Heavy, that booster that's going to be used on that test flight, the prototype number 9. It's already on the launch pad. They've already done fueling and tank tests. They're going to do static fire dress rehearsal tests before they mount Starship on top. Starship itself has done tanking tests. They have repaired and tested their new launch pad to make sure it would work, and it does, apparently. That involves a giant water system to pour water out to reduce the shock wave from the Super Heavy engine. So they're doing their engineering due diligence. The FAA, and I've been predicting since April that this launch isn't going to happen, but not because of SpaceX, but because the government and the FAA is going to act to block it. They're going to demand more than is reasonable, and they'll slow it down. And I said that this launch is going to be delayed for months. Well, the FAA this week revealed that my prediction was correct. They stated, spokesman for the FAA stated unequivocally there will be no additional orbital test launches of SpaceX's Super Heavy Starship until it decides, the FAA, that the launch will be safe. They are waiting for SpaceX's investigation, but then they want to review it, and they're going to look at it very closely, and they're going to make sure, as far as they're concerned, that everything's been covered. I will point out that there is no one at the FAA qualified in any way to make these decisions. The only ones that can really figure this out are the people at SpaceX. Since this is a new revolutionary rocket, no one has any experience with it, and SpaceX is trying to gain experience on it. And so any questions the FAA has is going to be a case of a delaying tactic, as far as I'm concerned. They might have questions, but it's going to be speaking from ignorance, and it's just going to delay the launch. So I'm predicting that this launch is going to be delayed many months, and you heard it first here. It's not going to happen in August. That's not the first story, though, about government actions, John. Let me go right to the Space Force story. Space Force has put together a draft language on how emergency declarations, national emergencies, will be handled by the military when it comes to space. And in that draft language, they want to claim the right in times of crisis or any national emergency to take complete control over all commercial space activities, complete control, shut down any other operations that aren't related to the government military's operation, and not to reimburse the private companies for that action. Companies are already beginning to protest this. I don't know where their legal right for the National Space, the Space Force is to do this. It kind of violates the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution that says, you know, due process and you should get some kind of compensation if your property is taken away from you, but that's what they're claiming. Well, John, let me go to another story. Varda is a commercial startup that wants to put capsules into orbit that can be returned to Earth. And while they're in orbit, they would manufacture things for sale on Earth. This is actually a continuation of the story from the shuttle era, when private companies were trying to use the shuttle to develop medicines, pharmaceuticals that can't be made on Earth because of weight, gravity. And they were at least one company was on the verge of producing its first commercial product from space to sell pharmaceuticals to the public, medicine. And then the shuttle had the Challenger accident, and no more commercial flights were allowed on it, and that project died. Well, Varda has had a capsule in space now for a few months manufacturing pharmaceuticals in orbit, and they want to bring it back to Earth to sell the pharmaceuticals. Well, the FAA has so far refused to issue a reentry license, a license for them to come back to Earth. This is a new thing based upon new federal regulations, FAA regulations that were issued 2 years ago that were supposed to streamline everything, but instead it has slowed everything down, including giving licenses out for launch. In this case, they put in their request more than 10 months ago, and there's a 180-day statutory deadline that the FAA has missed. So they can't bring their capsule down with this pharmaceuticals. Let me go on. The FCC has been doing a power grab recently, where it's claiming it has the right to tell satellite companies when and how long their satellites can stay in orbit and how they must be built so that they can be removed from orbit. This might be a good idea.
Bob, U.S. satellites or all satellites?
Well, it would be, that's a good question, John. FCC, you'd think, only has authority over U.S. satellites, but it's kind of like California. When they pass a regulation that has so much weight, it affects everybody.
I'm just thinking of hiring SpaceX or hiring ULA to launch your communication satellite if you are a private or enterprise or a country overseas. That's what the puzzle is.
Well, in that case, I would say the FCC becomes a factor, because that's what it wants to do. It wants to regulate how a satellite is built so that it can be deorbited or the space junk won't exist. Now, I have to repeat, that might be a good idea, but the FCC's statutory legal authority does not include that. FCC was always intended just simply to regulate the wavelengths, the electromagnetic spectrum of the satellites. Its not job is to determine how satellites are built. And it's claiming that authority. It's already set up a bureaucracy to do that. Well, the House Science Committee opposed language in an FCC bill, that would have given them that legal statutory authority. And because that Science Committee opposed it, when the bill came up for vote, it required a two-third majority. It didn't get that, and so it failed. And it was because of that language that would have created the authority for the FCC to do that. People were saying they don't have that authority or expertise. They shouldn't do it. I don't know if they'll continue. They're going to continue to push that authority, though. And finally, John, we have some kind of positive stories, but it's still the same thing. It's still the unelected bureaucracy gaining power over space and operations. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, this is another agency. We've talked about the FCC, the FAA, the FCC, the Space Force, that's four. This is the FTC, this is five. It's announced it's not going to block, how nice of them, it's not going to block the planned purchase of Aerojet Rocketdyne by L3 Harris. L3 Harris is a growing new space business that has some roots in big space, old space. Aerojet Rocketdyne has been around since the very beginning of the space age as a rocket engine company, and it's had lots of problems in recent years. Well, L3 Harris wants to buy it, and the FTC has said you can go right ahead. They've decided to let them do it, which is kind of nice, because if they don't do it, Aerojet Rocketdyne, I think, is going to fail as a company. And so this is a way to keep that technology alive and maybe re-streamline the company and make it operate well again in this merger. So that's a positive story there, John.
Yes, they want to make money. Good for L3 Harris. Now we go to big space. NASA has a budget challenge on planetary missions. These are their most successful ventures, Bob.
This story ties in with the cost overruns, the very early cost overruns on the Mars sample return mission. That budget had doubled from $4 billion to $8 to $9 billion suddenly. Well, that extra $4 or $5 billion has got to come from somewhere. And the House has made it clear that it is not going to give NASA a budget increase this year. It's actually treating NASA very nicely. It's putting giant budget cuts to a lot of other agencies, but it's not doing it to NASA. It's going to keep the budget stable. Well, NASA has this overrun with the Mars sample return mission, so it's got to find money in its planetary budget somehow. So they've decided to do that. They're going to delay a fifth New Frontiers planetary mission. They were going to put out the announcement of opportunity. This is so scientists can throw in bids, proposals for missions. They're going to delay that for at least a year, maybe longer, which means the whole mission is probably going to be delayed years. And that's because they don't have the money. They claim it's because of the frozen budget, but no, it's not that. It's because they have other projects that are going over budget, John.
NASA's charging Northrop Grumman $36 million for what?
This story and the next story, John, with Boeing have to do with old big space companies not understanding what a fixed price contract is. A fixed price contract is exactly what its name means. You win a contract from NASA for the amount of money you say it's going to cost you to build the project. If you can't do it for that amount of money, NASA is not going to give you more money. You have to build it for what you say you're going to build it for. In the old days, these big companies used something called cost plus, which meant they could go over budget, and NASA would just pick up the difference and allow them to still have on top of that a profit margin. Well, so Northrop Grumman bid on a fixed price contract to build a module for NASA's Lunar Gateway project. And the amount they bid was just under $1 billion for this project. The trouble is that they have now announced in the second quarter financial report that they've had to take a charge of $36 million. It's going to cost them more than they expected to build this module for Lunar Gateway. And they're blaming the fact that it's a fixed price contract. Well, you know, you make your bed, you live in it. And they should have recognized that and made sure that their original bid for how much money was accurate. Apparently it's not. It also appears possible that NASA is asking them as changing the specifications or requirements on them willy-nilly, and that could be a problem, because in a fixed price contract, NASA shouldn't be changing the requirements. It's not fair to the contractor. Similarly, we have a story from Boeing. Boeing is now official. They have total losses due to their Starliner manned capsule problems that now equal $1.5 billion. This is also a fixed price contract. They got a nearly $5 billion fixed price contract to develop this manned capsule. That meant they weren't going to get more money from NASA other than the $5 billion, and that has to include their profit. But they've had lots of problems, and they've had to continually take additional charges on the project because of all those problems. And that now equals $1.5 billion. That means their profit line is very slim here. They've got to get this flying soon and sell it to not just NASA but to others to try to make up that money, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. This is Happy Anniversary Behind the Black. 13 years of commenting on the rise of commercial space and the budget challenges of big space. We turn to one of my favorite topics Bob has introduced me to over the years, Voyager, the 1 and 2, and news from Voyager 2. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Brown.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.